and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I pray, Lord, that you just bless every word that I speak. May just it be a true and accurate reflection of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I really don't need to preach, do I? Because you've said it all in the children's talk. However, the other morning, two mornings ago, I was driving from northwest coast of Tasmania very early in the morning, and it was about 6 o'clock. I'd left home at 5:30 a.m. and I was driving down to Devonport, and round about Wynyard, if you know that terrain, it gets rather hilly, and I'd left home in the dark, and I could see on the horizon there was a bit of red appearing on the horizon, and I thought, I know what's going to happen, and the hills come and go and whatever. And at one stage, I came over the crest of a hill, and enveloping me was this incredible brilliance of the rising sun. And it was brighter, it was just incredibly bright and dazzling. And I had to close my eyes. And then I thought, no, Elizabeth, keep your eyes on the road. In that absolute instant, having read the word, I thought, I wonder if that's just an inkling of what those three disciples must have been exposed to in terms of something being so brilliant and dazzling and overpowering that it was just amazing. So I just share that with you because it was just a nanosecond, and I thought that brilliance is perhaps just an inkling of what the disciples saw. So this morning we've heard about the transfiguration. Now, through the Gospels we read of miracles, but this morning reading of the from Mark, it tells of an amazing miracle. And the miracle concerns Jesus himself. The actual face is absolutely shining. We're told in some of the other Gospels that his face shone like the sun. However, I'm just going to go back a little bit, because 6 days prior to this event, Jesus had told the disciples that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by others and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. That was a teaching. Jesus had told them that. And 6 days later, he took three disciples. We're told he took three disciples, Peter, John, and James, and he said with them, come with me. And he took them up a mountain. Very interesting, because so often in the Bible, the notion of a mountain is actually mentioned. I mean, Moses went up Mount Sinai. There are other examples. So Jesus took them up the mountain. We don't know the name of the mountain. It's not mentioned at all. And it's said in the Gospel of Matthew that he went there to pray. He wanted to go there to pray. So he took three disciples. He wanted to be in a private place, an important place. He took them up to the mountain. Now, it's quite intentional that he took the three disciples. He trusted them. And later, they would bear witness to what was going to happen. He also had those disciples in Gethsemane. So in the Old Testament, mountains are often a place to meet God, to commune with God. The word transfiguration or metamorphosis is composed of two Greek words, morph meaning body or form, and meta meaning shape. So his form was changed. The face of Jesus changes. As I said, it's only an external changing. So during this event, Jesus' face changed to a spectacular brightness, as I said, too bright to gaze upon. And he's changed into a glorious image, and his garments become as white as light. So what is happening, the glory of God, God who created everything, the glory of God is reflected. It's not seen, it's reflected in the face of Jesus. It's a very radical transformation. And also what happened, as we've heard this morning in the Gospel, a bright light appeared. It's interesting, isn't it? In Paul's conversion on the way to Damascus, there was a bright light. A light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he was blinded for 3 days. So that whole notion of light is incredibly important. So after that event, there appeared before the three disciples and Jesus, Elijah and Moses. Now these are two figures prominent in Jewish history that the three disciples would have known all about. Moses was the lawgiver, and Elijah was the prophet. Two incredibly prominent people in Jewish history. And here they are appearing on the mountain with Jesus, three of them, talking. Mark doesn't tell us what they talk about, but another gospel writer says they were talking about Jesus' impending death. So what they were talking about, it had been prophesied about, and it was to come to fruition. It's really interesting, the fact that Moses didn't lead the people into the promised land. Elijah was followed by Elisha. John the Baptist spoke of someone far greater than he, who was Jesus. So here two prominent people appearing with Jesus. And by them appearing with Jesus, they are validating also his importance. So what did Peter say? Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi," or teacher, "it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He actually placed them on level pegging, but they weren't. It was almost an insult, because Jesus is preeminent. Because he didn't know what to say. The scriptures say he didn't know what to say. So he said that. So sometimes it's far better not to say anything, isn't it, than say the wrong thing. The scriptures tell us they were frightened by these events that were happening. Then what happens? Then a cloud appears. So often in scripture, the cloud of God envelops a situation. Well, here a cloud appeared and enveloped them, surrounded them. One of the other scriptures tell us when they were so frightened, Jesus actually approached them and touched them and said, it comforted them. How often we're in a cloud of mystery, we don't know what's going on, we can be quite perturbed. Jesus is there, close by. He touches us. So they're frightened. Then the cloud appeared and enveloped them. Didn't sit out there somewhere, it actually enveloped them. Just as Jesus' love and presence envelops us. And a voice came from the cloud. What did it say? "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." There's three aspects there. "This is my son." It's about relationship. Saying who Jesus is in relationship with God. What does two? It says, whom I love. A bond, a connection. Again, relationship. The third thing, listen to him. When Jesus told the three disciples 3 days, 6 days prior, I'm going to die, I hope they were listening to him, because that was a teaching. This is teaching. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. Interesting. They'd gone. Their presence had actually validated everything in terms of where that Jesus had come and the importance of Jesus. So the two Old Testament figures were gone. The person that remains and will always remain is Jesus. He will always be there. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He will always be there. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus gave them orders. Pretty strong thing to say. He gave them orders. Listen to me. They weren't to tell anyone. Why not? Because they weren't to tell anyone until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They were actually to withhold that information because it had all been prophesied. And it's noted in the other scriptures that after the resurrection, that is when they actually spoke of this situation. So the transfiguration is an important of theological importance. As I say, it's a pivotal moment. It's the meeting place of the temporal and the eternal. It's a meeting place of human nature meeting God. With Jesus is the connector, acts as a bridge between heaven and earth. The other reason the transfiguration is important in Jesus' life, but because it confirms his divinity and demonstrates how he fulfills Old Testament scripture. It's a turning point. So what can we gather from this? It's wise for us to accept. If we fail to accept the teaching of Jesus, his suffering, death, and resurrection, if we fail to do that, we fail to accept the most important matter and we indicate a closed heart and mind. If we fail and do not hear Jesus when he speaks because we're told to listen to him, then we may as well not listen at all. It's an imperative when Jesus speaks, when we read his word, that we open our ears, our hearts, and our minds. So in summary, we've heard several components to this narrative of a private and prayerful event happening on the mountain. The location is important. Who was present? Of the miraculous change, radical change and transformation in the face of Jesus and the brilliance surrounding him, of his relationship with the Father, of the appearance of the old two Testament figures. So I would encourage us to take away this morning two components that we've heard of in the Transfiguration. One, to be prayerful as Jesus was prayerful, and often location can be important. And two, that we actually listen to Jesus, that we are in continual listening mode. because when time is ended and the world's history is gathered and ended, if we've listened to him, we will be to him in eternity, remembering that Jesus' name stands alone. As I said, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the author and the end of all. So let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can hear your word, and the power of the Holy Spirit just opens our hearts and ears. May we reflect you. May your light shine through us to others. May we see you with an obedient heart that longs to hear more of you. We give you all the thanks and the praise, and above all, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, O God, for you come.